Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and hello to the whole world here at Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. I have got so much to fit in today, it's ridiculous. I don't even know where to start, but I got to start. I got to start somewhere, right? And the amazing thing is, the thing that I really, really wanted to talk about this week from last week has gotten so eclipsed by other things that I'm not going to even get to it at all. I don't think I can. We have some things to cover very, very briefly about Donald Trump. We are going to be talking about homosexuality. We are going to be talking about matters of faith, dealing with Jew, Christian, Muslim. We are going to be covering a bunch of, gosh, we just got so much to cover. I've got to knock it off and get rolling. But I want to start with the fact that I just need to throw out a new offer, not a new offer. It's a kind of a resurgence of an old offer. You know, I wrote the book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events, because I am not a fan of, because the Bible does not support, in my opinion, but it's my assessment of Scripture as a lawyer, the Bible doesn't support a pre-tribulation rapture. That's what this book is about. We have a new shipment ordered, if you'd like one. It's $15. That covers your postage and handling, which is about $3 of the cost. P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, W-I-C-K-E-N-B as in boy, U-R-G, Arizona, 85358. And I want to let you know that our website, redskyradio.net, where you can also hear this program, or hear it via podcast under darkskyradio.com. We are getting that website retooled. We're in the process of it now so that you'll be able to order that book online. I'm not sure just how, it won't be in time for Christmas. I think it's a great stocking stuffer for all those who are stuck on the pre-trib rapture, think that they're going to get out of here easily. Jesus didn't get out of here easily. None of the disciples, other than maybe one, John, got out of here easily. No, it's a precious faith. And it says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. No, it's going to be rough, but it also, at the same time, it will be glorious. So you need to get this book. It will reorient your whole thinking about the end times from a biblical perspective. I know everybody that writes on it says that. But I'm looking at it as a lawyer. What is the evidence? I'm not concerned about theologians here. I'm not knocking theologians. Don't get me wrong. I've preached 600 or 700 sermons, so I'm not going to sit here and bash theologians. I am one to some extent, but only to the extent that Scripture supports what I say. If it doesn't, I don't say it. So anyway, it's P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Good news. I don't want to sound harsh, but if it is, then so be it. You know, one of the things, you know, the longer I live, the more troubled I am about the way things are. But the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. The things that are coming our way are things that God has told us through Jesus that they are going to happen. Things are going to get rough. They're going to get tough. look up, you know, and when your redemption draweth nigh, and that's not the pre-trib rapture. That's the return of the Lord. Why you don't, if you're not going through troubles, then the whole pre-trib rapture is sort of a meaningless concept anyway. But my point here really is that there are increasingly things that I am going to love about heaven. Now, this may sound harsh, but one of them is that there will be no Democrats. Now, I'm not saying here, I know your reaction. It sounded harsh to me. I'm not saying all Republicans go to heaven. I'm not saying everybody in one particular party in France or in some other part of the country or the world, they're going to heaven and everybody else on the other side isn't. But you cannot be a knowledgeable Democrat and embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't. You can't be pro-abortion and pro-queer sex and all of these things. Tranny this and tranny that. I'm just sick of that garbage. And it's sort of, maybe that's happens to everybody as they get older. They sort of get prepared for the next life in part by getting sick of this one. Maybe if things were really great, you wouldn't want to go so badly. But you get to that point where, gosh, you know what? I think that I want to go because things are happening. And, you know, I feel like as this program has expanded to going around the world, we have had, well, you know what? I'm digressing here already. We have had phenomenal response from amount of listeners from overseas. The listening audience that comes to us now internationally has doubled the size of the Red Sky Radio listening audience. And we've just been on, what, maybe 4 weeks? The listeners that we have in India, Russia, Dubai, I don't know why everybody's listening. Why there are that many people that tune in Dubai. You know, let me know. I'd like to know. I'm curious. info@redskyradio.net. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Chile, Ireland, the UK. I mean, I'm just sort of amazed. This last week, Thailand. We had people in Thailand listening. Now, look, I only speak English, and it's not flawless English. So God bless all you nations where you have learned English to be able to understand at least a portion of what I say. And I'm sorry if I get going a little fast. I don't want to denigrate your comprehension of the English language, but if it's a second or third language for you, God bless you that you've learned those. I have only one, and I'm still working on it. But I have to tell you, the things that have come out of the mouths of what I call the Democrats today are just amazing. And I'm going to talk about President Trump and one thing and only one reference to George Bush, 41st President of the United States, who passed away here this week. The criticism of President Trump that's rising is because what? He did not recite the Apostles' Creed at the funeral. Are you kidding me? Because he didn't recite the Apostles' Creed, the left-wing weenies, sorry about the redundancy, are on him. The ones who hate Scripture, the ones who don't know Scripture, the ones who hate the Bible, bibliophobes, Elohimophobics, they hate God, El Shaddaiophobics, they hate God, and all of his ways by which he expresses himself. They come out and they chastise and criticize Trump because he doesn't recite the Apostles' Creed. What if he had? What if he had recited it and he went on and read from two chapters of the Bible and then he went over and put anointing oil on some? Who knows? If he had done all of that, guess what? They'd be screaming out their rear ends about what a hypocrite he is. Now, White Michael Brown, I love you, man. He's a great writer, Messianic Christian, Messianic Jew is what I meant to say, who understands things. I mean, there are so many things that Michael writes that either I have written or I have said before, or they're exactly the same thing that I'm thinking that I haven't said or written. I just kind of love the way that we track And he brings out a simple point this week. He said, referencing Trump's non-recitation of the Apostles' Creed, says, ask me if I care. And he doesn't. And he makes the point that I have made before, that, I mean, I'm concerned about Donald Trump's future, whether he's going to go to heaven or not. For him personally, I'm concerned. In every other respect, I couldn't give a hoot. I do not care. All I care about is to what extent does this man fulfill his promises of goodness that he said that he would bring to the United States of America. That's all I really care about. People say, the Christians, a bunch of them say, he's no good, he's a hypocrite, blah, 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 blah. Well, keep in mind, write this down. There are a couple of passages you want to take note of in this program. One is from the book of Isaiah. Chapter 45. We've said this many times before, that Donald Trump was a Cyrus. In other words, Cyrus was not Jewish. He was a Medo Persian. He was Persian in nature. I mean, ethnically, from the area of Iran, right? He wasn't Christian, but God took his heart and moved it to do what God wanted to do. Let me just read you this passage. It says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Okay, here's a guy who couldn't care less, really, about God at all. He is a heathen, pagan king. And God calls him his anointed. Why? Because God touched him and anointed him to do a particular job God wanted him and had him to do. He was created for a particular purpose that had nothing to do with his reverence for God. God can use whatever he wants to use. He says, I've anointed you, Cyrus, whose right hand I have held up, to subdue nations and to loose the loins of kings. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness. I don't understand all this. I'm just getting to the finish line, huh? The punchline. And hidden riches of secret places, that you will know that I am the Lord God, which calls you by name. I'm the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have called you by thy name. I have named you, even though you don't know me. You have not known me. I know you, says God to Cyrus, but Cyrus, you don't know me. And nothing indicates that Cyrus ever changed in his pagan heathen practices. But he was a godly tool coming out of modern-day Iran. I mean, coming out of what is now modern-day Iran. A godly tool God used for his purposes because he's sovereign. I love that passage. Hey, maybe that's why people in Iran are starting to listen. I don't know. But I will have to tell you, this is the left today in the United States. You've heard the expression, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Well, that's their expression. They're going to rip Trump and any conservative, any person who believes in God, they're going to rip them to shreds because they don't. And because what we say convicts them of sin. That's all it comes down to. They're like the ones who, when they were listening to the apostle Stephen give his testimony about how God had changed his life, they can't stand anymore. They said that they tore their clothes and then they stoned the guy. Why? Because they couldn't stand the truth. The truth convicts. That's why the left is all about suppressing it. Okay? Now, to these Democrats, better known, frankly, as Democrats. The totality of the evil that resides within one of these parties in America is unbelievable. They have completely gone to the dark side. There is no good thing in that party. And if there is, it's people who have wandered into the wrong room, or they're voting that way because Grandpa voted Democrat because of FDR. Who gives a rip? If you're that stupid or ignorant, most of many cases, let's give you the benefit of the doubt, if you're ignorant and you're voting for that way, then, as the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Well, to my point, this week, the head of the Democrat Party of the United States, the head of the Democratic National Committee, Chairman Tom Perez, said Democrats have to adopt a strategy to reach certain voters because they're not reaching those who are influenced by the church. Those who are influenced by the, quote, pulpit on Sunday. Now, I want you to listen to this guy because you're going to hear, gosh, I hope I can get to it. You're going to hear how this translates into issues of actual commonality between devout Jews, devout Christians, and devout Muslims. I'm serious. There's more commonality at a certain level, not in how we go to heaven. There's major disagreement there. But you will hear a commonality that relates to the political culture of the United States. And I want to quote Perez here. If you can make sense of this, you can write me, info@redskyradio.net. Tell me what this guy means in certain places. He says, quote, all we, the Democrats, have to make sure that we are affluent. In other words, by whatever means, we got to be made rich, okay? And what's happening across our ecosystem? What on earth does he talking about? We have to be affluent in what's happening across our ecosystem. And then you have that loser from Hawaii saying that the Democrats are the only smart ones in the room. Well, that's interesting. Coming from somebody who wouldn't know how to spell Mensa. That person in Hawaii would say that. Because this is hogwash. This is gobbledygook. This is nonsense. It's a pile of hooey, to be kind. He said, so we have to be really rich everywhere so that we can come to each other's defense because we need to build a bigger orchestra. Now, I'm quoting here. They, presumably the Republicans, have had a big orchestra for some time. Lie. That's a lie. They've got a megaphone to amplify. That's a lie. The whole media is sucking swamp water. They're all swimming in Obama's swimming pool. And every other leftist thing you could think of is what the media in the United States is stuck on. There's only one that has even remote fair and balanced treatment. Of course, that's Fox. All the others were just whores for Hillary during the campaign, and they continue to be prostitutes for progressivism. Continuing on, he says, Fox at a national level. I've learned this from the outreach we've done at the Democrat National Committee. That's Democrat. I'm still quoting him. I got to quote him right. I had a person from Wisconsin tell me that the main sources of those who oppose us are, and I quote, Fox News, the NRA newsletter, and the pulpit on Sunday. Listen to that. The pulpit on Sunday. And he continues on. He says, and it should come as a surprise to no one that our message doesn't penetrate. It should come as a surprise to no one that the person has elevated the issue, of course, to the top because that person on the pulpit is saying, quote, ignore everything else that this person has done and is doing. We have to focus on the issue of Roe versus Wade. And people buy into it because it's their only source. That's amazing. He said that's their only source. Look, this is what the Democrats are about. They are out absolutely to eradicate any other source of information so that they own all the sources. Look, they've got the whole media, except Fox. So they beat the tar out of Fox. They've got all of the lobbying organizations, the administrative agencies that are to the left of left, and they beat up on the one that they don't own, the National Rifle Association. They got the universities corrupted with a bunch of crapola from the left. You got professors that denigrate everything and anything religious. Right from day one, you've got University of California, Santa Barbara, with pre-printed freshman registration cards that say, I'm a Democrat. They have all that. And they pick on the few things that are left. the very few things. And here's why. Because the truth rattles these nitwits. The truth undermines their whole agenda, and that is to eradicate the Word of God from all of society, because frankly, they work for their father, the father of lies, the devil. The Democrat Party is demon-inspired, demon-controlled, demon-influenced, demon-driven at every single level. I'm more emphatic in this than ever, because their behavior points it out. And wherever you are in the world, you can identify some group of people that just seem to be driven by demonic drivel. Demonic drivel is what you hear from their mouths. You know it's wrong. But they all kumbaya each other and pat each other on the back and call everybody that's not like them idiots, like the gal in Hawaii. Look, they own the universities. They own the media. I want to tell you, I have worked very, very hard to overcome a government education. It's taken a lot of effort to overcome a government education. The lousy education I got at the University of Michigan. Except that it was so bad, and I knew what I was hearing was from such a pack of losers, it sent me on a search for truth, the real reality, truth. And it led me to Christianity. I knew those guys were wrong. I didn't know what was right. So when they say, when the head of the Democrat Party says that these people ignore anything and anything, everything and anything other than Fox News, NRA, than the new and the pulpit preacher on Sunday, they say, and these people buy into this because it's their only source. Here's the code, folks. What he's saying is we, the Democrats, have to cut off their only sources. This guy has admitted it. These only sources is what they read. They've got to listen to us. They don't listen to us. They got to listen to us because we know better than they. Keep in mind, this is a party which a couple years ago at the National Convention, when they brought up God, everybody booed. They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate anything that will convict them of their sin. Well, they hate these sources because those are the sources that are keeping the United States still free. They're the ones that are not controlled by the left, and it drives them bonkers. I mean, Perez is sucking down some demonic steroid here on a daily basis. I will tell you, as long as there are a significant number of Democrats in this country, we need more than ever to support and sustain the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, because they will come after those. They will come after us. They are about the goal of suppressing the truth, because as I've said a number of times already, they can't handle the truth. Wasn't that Jack Nicholson? What movie was that? A Few Good Men? He goes, the truth. The truth, you can't handle the truth. And that's what I say to the Democrats. Look at this from the University of Idaho. I don't want to spend much time on this. But a gal who's pro-life. In other words, she is publishing things that she shouldn't have the right to execute innocent unborn children. Shouldn't have the right. She got cut off at the University of Idaho by Lisa, L-Y-S-A, Salisbury, who needs to find a new job or get saved. But anyway, she said she admitted she censored the student writer, Victoria Dilone, upon discovering, quote, that her opinions do not align with the majority of opinions expressed by other students in the university, end quote. Is that what universities are? We are going to browbeat you into submission. We are going to suppress every independent free thought. Anything that rises up against the statist, elitist, Hitlerian, dictatorial nature and attitude of America's universities. Look, if you're in a foreign country and you're looking to come to a university in the United States, I'll tell you, write me and ask me what ones you ought to consider going to, because it'll be a waste of time and a waste of money. And when you're done, you will be demanding a refund because you did not get an education in the United States. Universities, the public ones, you got an indoctrination. So if you want to pay a lot of money for an indoctrination, come to the U.S. Now, I don't know what it's like in other places of the world to go some other place for an education. Man, these academics, these left-wing weenies are everywhere. So Salisbury, who is this director of the Women's Center at a government-funded university, this is what I say. You got to work hard to overcome a government education, like I did, expressed her concerns about the person's opinions, which had been flagged as, quote, extremely hurtful, end quote, and having, quote, religious content, end quote. I got to ask you a question. This is a matter of logic. This is a matter of intellect, which obviously Ms. Salisbury has none of either. If pushing abortion is not religious, then how can pushing back on abortion be religious? You see, she gets out there and pushes her queer crap, pushes her abortion crap. She pushes all of this stuff that's ungodly and contends that it's not part of her belief system. It's not religious. It's not part of her systematic hierarchy of values. But then when somebody pushes back against it, all of a sudden it's verboten. It's forbidden. It's off limits because it's religious. Look, it's like, here's an analogy. If a person said, I'm going to drive north, and I said, well, you don't need to go south. And they say, well, south, I'm going the other way. I'm going to go south. And they say, well, you can't, why are you picking directions? Look, you can't have, north could not be a direction and have south be a direction. Anything that is described as one thing, an idea, the contrary to it is also an idea of equal consideration. It doesn't become a non-idea. You can't say something that is obviously anti-Christian, and I might say anti-Orthodox Jew and anti-Orthodox Muslim, such as let's kill the unborn, let's do all this queer garbage and tick God off by pushing sodomy down the throats of our kids in school. That's your belief system. What you are saying when you say that, if you're gonna push that, is that God doesn't matter. God doesn't exist. He's a liar. His word doesn't matter. How can that not be a religious view by coming out against openly everything that God speaks about and directs us to how a society and a civilization be run? How can you say that you oppose God on all of these things and your view is not religious, but then when you uphold God's view, all of a sudden your position becomes religious? Comes back to one thing. Fifth time I've said it today, folks. It's about truth. It is about the truth. If you speak the truth, you are going to be crucified. Ultimately, because there's a God in this world called the devil who was beaten by the truth of God's word. He continues to be beaten by the truth of God's word. He will always be beaten by the truth of God's word. And he's out to steal, kill, and destroy, going about as a roaring lion to see who can wipe out. And that includes you. That's why you need to stand up. We'll be right back. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. Don't go away. I got so much more.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
I think I'm going to Kathmandu. That's really, really where I'm going to. If I ever get out of here, that's what I'm gonna do. Kathmandu. I think it's really where I'm going to. If I ever get out of here, I'm going to Kathmandu.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio, just reminding you that we have a new shipment of books ordered. The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events. It will change your way of thought completely about the end times. $15, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Okay, I've said before, say it again, probably continue to say it. Look, I can't stand Facebook. I was on Facebook about 8 days. I ended up in fights with people that relatives and ex-relatives, and people I haven't even talked to in 15 or 20 years. And we're already arguing about stuff as they push queer crap and they come out against the Second Amendment. And I'm not just going to sit there and take it. I push back. I don't like Facebook. Facebook is, All right. So Zuckerberg or Schmuckerberg, whatever you might want to call him, you know, it makes a gazillion dollars off this thing. But, folks, it's not your friend, ultimately. It curtails godly thought at all levels. They just came out and yanked a post where it showed Santa Claus kneeling before the baby Jesus and said that the reason that they were removing it was that they have a policy against posting graphic or violent content. Now, wait a second. Santa's not holding a gun to the baby Jesus. He doesn't have a knife out ready trying to slit his throat. This is not one of the three wise men who turned around, snuck back, and came back as Santa and tried to take his gift. Look, this is just Facebook being Facebook. Google hates you. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love God, you are strong. Facebook hates you. Google hates you. They're out as emissaries of the left to control your thought, and they are becoming less and less secretive in their effort to do this. But, you know, the typical attacks on Christmas are out there. We got this psych professor, what's his name, Eric Sprankle. He's professor of clinical psychology, I don't know, at some university that I just got telling you you shouldn't go to. Don't go to these places. Forget psych anyway, clinical psychology. I don't know. I'm sorry if you're a psych major, but it is a degree most people get when they don't know what else to get. And I think a lot of them kind of get screwed up with those degrees. I purposely avoided it in college at all levels. So I went to the Bible. I get my psychology out of there. But he claims, and this is the left, folks. This is why the Democrats booed God at their national convention a few years ago. He claims that the virgin birth story of Mary is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen, quoting him, and as a consequence, God lacked Mary's consent. This is his position, that God lacked Mary's consent. In other words, this moron, this blasphemer, yes, there is blasphemy in the world. Right now it comes out of the head of the Democrat Party and their likes, like this guy. This is blasphemous. To say what he's saying is that God, in essence, raped Mary. That is what this guy's Christmas message is. He said there's no, I'm going to quote him, there's no definition of consent that would include this scenario. In Luke, he said it clearly states that he says the Bible, God regularly, in the Bible, God, and he has it with a small g, tells you what he thinks of God, regularly punishes disobedience. The power difference between a deity, God, and a mortal, Mary, and the potential violence is for if she said no, she would, in other words, he's implying, if she said no to God, she would suffer violence. And so he is saying that in verse 38 of, I'm trying to think what chapter, I guess that's in, it's in Matthew. I lost my citation here. But Mary says, be it unto me, O Lord. So in other words, she consents. She hears the angel give the message, and she consents, be it unto me, O Lord. But this yin-yang is saying that her yes is really no, because it's like a woman who knows that she is going to get overpowered if she says no to the rapist. So she says yes, and therefore her consent is really not consensual. This is your leftist thinking, folks. This is what you, this is a garbage you get to sit in front of when you go to front Dr. So-and-so here, Sprinkle, and take his class in clinical psychology. I mean, why would you pay for that? I would pay to not be there. I would pay to not have to go listen to Hillary Clinton. I would pay to not have to go listen to Barack Obama. I would pay to not have to listen to Nancy Pelosi or Chucky Schumer or Cory Booker or Harris. Gosh. He leaves us with this thought. He says, to put someone in this position, in other words, Mary, is an unethical abuse of power at best and grossly predatory at worst. Look, Jack, if you're okay with calling God grossly predatory, I just simply don't want to be near you during a lightning storm. Okay? Just don't want to be around it. Now, I understand this guy probably got burned somehow in some religious context, and so he's taken it upon himself the mission of delegitimizing everything in Scripture. However, his view is not unusual. His view actually is representative of the Democrat Party. So what do we do? Well, let me start with by telling you what we don't do. We don't do what Lauren Daigle does, what she did. Look, I don't know, Daigle. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. My wife says she's a great singer. She sings anointed songs. Well, maybe they once were anointed, but you don't do what this woman did, and that is go shoot your mouth off about stuff you don't know and denigrate and lead people, particularly young Christians or anybody listening to her, astray on the issue of homosexuality. Okay, so she's a Grammy-nominated Christian singer, right? She goes on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And she's on there, and she said that she was asked afterwards, after she was on that program, she was interviewed. The interview has been transcribed. Says she couldn't answer whether homosexuality is a sin. What she's saying is, I don't know jack squat diddly about the Bible. Well, then just say it. Look, I really am fairly clueless on what Scripture says, because homosexuality is condemned throughout, from Leviticus to 1 Timothy. It's clear. It's obvious. You'd have to rewrite it, which is what the homosexual community is doing. They're preparing and writing their own Bible to take out everything that would convict them of sin. But so she's on this program, and then she goes on to say, quote, afterwards in this interview, I can't honestly answer on that in the sense that I have too many people that I love and they are homosexuals. So in other words, she can't honestly answer. So apparently she doesn't to be what she, is the alternative, a dishonest answer? Here's what she's doing. I have so many friends that I like that are homosexual. I don't dare to tell them the truth. I want to tell you something, Ms. Daigle. Lauren, you are actually the true homophobe. You are the true homophobe. because you do not actually like and love homosexuals. You don't like them enough to straighten them out. You don't like them enough to convey the truth. I'm not saying you have to go beat up on them. Far be from it. But you can tell the truth. And if you don't have the guts to truth, tell the truth, then shut up, woman. Shut up. It says in the book of Acts, this is very instructive. And Paul is admonishing, he's kind of chewing out the Jews in this passage because they are, quote, constrained by their affections, end quote. Constrained by their affections. What does that mean? It means that they are not doing what they should do, not acting like they should act. They're not saying what they should say because the people to whom they should be doing things and saying the right things, they can't say them because they are afraid that they're going to hurt their feelings because they like them too much. So, Lauren, let me ask you, if you had a lot of friends who were pimps, if you had a lot of friends who were prostitutes, if you had a lot of friends who were drug pushers, would you say that you honestly can't answer, to use your words, in the sense of whether that activity is sinful or not because you know and love too many people that do that? If you knew a bunch of abortionists and you loved them, but you knew them and you were friends with these abortionists, would you say that you couldn't honestly answer the question whether killing innocent, unborn human life is sin because you love them so much? No, if you love them, you would tell them that they were sin, that that's sinful. And then she goes on and follows one loser comment with another. She just says, quote, I can't say one way or the other, I'm not God. When people ask questions like that, I just say, read the Bible and find out for yourself. And when you find out, let me know because I'm learning too. Woman, read the Bible yourself. Don't shift it to somebody else. Take a namby-pamby, puke you out of the mouth, middle of the road, lukewarm answer because you don't have the guts to tell the truth. Now, you think I'm being too hard on this woman? Maybe so, but I don't think so, and here's why. I have been consistent for a long time. Give me a hardened unbeliever. Give me a hardened sinner. Give me a crusty cowboy who cusses like a sailor, but who knows fundamental truths about biblical things, about righteous things, as opposed to a person who says they're a Christian and they wallow around like a weenie in a morass of uncommitted compromise. That's what God says. He says, I'll vomit you. I'll puke you out of my mouth because you're not hot. You're not cold. You're just wallowing around in the lukewarm middle. What else does Scripture say? When a righteous person falters before the mighty, before kings, before luminaries, before Ellen DeGeneres on national TV, you are like a murky water and a troubled spring. You don't know if that water's safe to drink. I don't think I could trust Lauren Daigle on anything because she's been shown to compromise under pressure on a key issue. Why do you have to shift it to somebody else, Lauren, for them to figure out? Well, it's pretty clear. It says in Leviticus, shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, right after that, Paul goes on to say, but such were some of you. In other words, before you became to the Lord, you were something else. You were those things. You aren't anymore, which takes care of the whole genetic thing about homosexuality is sin. Look, I want to tell you, Lauren, that you need to understand something. First Timothy says, understanding that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and for the disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who strike their fathers and strike their mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Ellen, or that's what you need to know, Lauren, is the law is there for a purpose. The law is not there for the righteous. It's there for those who would behave contrarily. That's all it's been. You don't need to stop and give somebody a ticket who's not speeding, right? You don't need to arrest somebody for murder when that person never killed anybody or threatened to do so. But she doesn't get this. She goes on, Daigle goes on to say, this is so sad because people think because Ellen's gay, she's bad. No, because Ellen is gay and she espouses those views, we know she's wrong. She's just like these other people who aren't going to heaven, but she could go to heaven if she were changed. Jesus Christ does that. That's the whole point. That's why Paul said, such were, past tense, some of you. But here's the deal. She went on, I don't know, she was on, I don't watch these shows, but some singing competition. American Idol, I think, is where she was. And Ellen DeGeneres just loved her. Probably thought she was hot. You say, oh, that, Rob, don't say that. That's not fair. That's nice. You're jumping to conclusions. Well, I want to mention something here. As a matter of experience that prompted that comment, I was in a Costco just a few months ago, got my hot dog and my Coke. That's about all I get there at that store. I sit down at a table because there's no other table. There's another guy at the table, young Hispanic guy. We engage in a nice conversation, and it leads over to politics. I got teased. I got hooked. I fell for the bait. And I asked, He asked me some questions, and I said, look, the United States is going down the tubes at this point. We could be the great Satan that a lot of Muslims say we are, but leading the charge is the LGBT community, the Gestapo, if I can call them that, because they are, because of who's the guy here, Ryan Murphy, the multi-million-dollar Hollywood producer, says we are going to defeat every Republican that opposes the LGBTQRSDUVWXYZ agenda. You're out of here. We're pushing our queerdom down your throats. Ram it, cram it, slam it, and jam it, whether you like it or not. And you won't be able to speak or do anything when we're done with you that causes us to feel badly about what we do. That's the message and what he's saying. So I told this guy this, and I could see the little twitch. And I knew that this young Hispanic man was homosexual at that point because he was having a difficult time maintaining eye contact in the right way. And I told him, and he finally came out and said, look, I've got to just tell you, I'm gay. And I said, I thought so. But don't think that that's going to change my direction. I don't dislike you personally. But I know what I said was, I know you think you're gay, but you aren't. You've been sold a lie. You've gotten hooked into that culture. I don't know who sodomized you as a child. I don't know what father abandoned you that and Satan had a hook and an inroad into your life. But I'm not changing my view on that. The guy was very nice, folks. I didn't not tell him the truth because I thought he wouldn't like me. I gave him a point of contact, a fairly safe point of contact, to get a hold of me if he wanted to talk more about getting right with the Lord. I got a contact from him. You know what his answer was? His answer was, you are extremely handsome. Which, first of all, I thought, was this guy blind? Is this guy, I mean, to even say that. Everything that I said had no effect. His liking me was for a different purpose. This is why when Ellen DeGeneres wants this attractive young woman on her program, she probably thinks she's hot. It was the reason for this guy in Costco to unknowingly to me to actually sort of hit on me, but in a manner of just being friendly and nice. And yes, he was. And are there nice homosexuals who aren't trying to hit on you? Of course. But understanding, be wise. I mean, harmless as dove, wise as a serpent. Lauren, you failed that test big time. But you're constrained by your affections. It's why the Bible says, you know, to what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship? Come out from among them and be ye separate. I'm not saying you don't love those people, but you don't love them by telling them that what they're doing is okay or not having the guts to share with them what the Bible actually says about their behavior. It's pretty clear, folks. Seems like it to me, but this woman is doing great damage, in my opinion, to a whole bunch of people who think that the because she's this big Christian luminary that somehow the Bible really doesn't speak to it. And now down to my point that I said that I would make as a matter of commonality between the Jew, the devout Jew, the devout Muslim, and the devout Christian. I worked for a period of time for Wells Fargo. Absolute worst job I've ever had. This, they are so bent on pushing the LGBT agenda. I just wanted to hurl. And I finally quit them. I opposed them. I challenged them. And they sent down emissaries from their home office down to Santa Barbara to check out and see if I was somehow possibly influencing the other employees with an attitude of righteousness about heterosexuality. They were really concerned. And I wrote them, and I said to them, I said, you know, you think I'm not inclusive. Well, because I don't celebrate diversity. I'll tell you what I don't celebrate is I don't celebrate debauchery. And I also want to tell you that while there are conflicts between devout Jews, devout Muslims, and devout Christians, and yes, we disagree about how one goes to heaven, I want to tell you, among those groups, we have don't have diversity. We have unanimity. We have harmony at the fact that abortion is the execution of innocent, unborn human life, that homosexuality is a gross, abominable sin, that there are blasphemers out there that are called those things of God to be of Satan and things of Satan to be of God. When it comes down to political, civil issues of how a community is run and a nation is run and what values should prevail, there's a lot of commonality. And I want to say this in closing. While I, and you've heard me before, I don't believe Sharia law has any place next to the United States Constitution in place of it. Not at all. But to the extent that components of Sharia law, to the extent that those components line up with the scriptures that I study, and there's a lot of commonality as to what constitutes sin in the area of a civil organization, how society is ordered, I actually have to commend the Muslims because they stick up for it. You guys stick up for what you believe. You call sin a sin in those areas. I don't believe everything you call a sin is necessarily sin, but there's a lot of commonality. And when it comes to these issues of how a society is ordered, you got the guts to speak out as opposed to these namby-pamby weenie baby-faced, thumb-sucking denominations that call themselves Christians. They're fake Christians who want too badly to be liked by man, Lauren Daigle, that you are afraid to be a friend of God, Lauren Daigle, by speaking the word of God. If you don't know the truth, shut up. If you know the truth, speak it. Now, you're 27 years old. You got time to correct and repent of your sin of compromise because you were not confessing God's word where you had an opportunity to do so. But I have to tell you, The devout Jews, the devout Muslims who speak strongly to these issues. I would rather have a person in public office in the United States who's right on all of these issues, like Donald Trump, as opposed to someone who contends that they're a Christian, but they don't contend for the faith. They've compromised. They've weenied. They've weaseled. They squirm because they're so afraid of whether they're going to be liked or not liked, whether they're going to get another gig on a TV show, whether they're going to be able to record another album, because the people that are working with them, they don't have the guts to tell them the truth, so they don't become an answer to the problem. They become part of the problem. I have no use for that, those compromises or compromisers. That's why. Maybe I sound rabid today. I didn't even get to the main topic I wanted to cover today. Didn't even get there. Let's call this a precursor. But that's why it is important to stand up for what you believe. To sit tall in the saddle. To ride for the brand. The brand of Jesus Christ. Folks, we got one natural life. Live it to the fullest for the Lord. Do not compromise. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. But don't go maybe, might, possibly. I don't know. You go find out. Love you guys. See you next week. Sit tall in the saddle. Ride to the brand.